Okay, Alexander, let's talk about the NATO sanctioning NATO, which is NATO member sanctioning a NATO member, which is what we have. I think you said it's the first time in history that this has happened. And I was reading an article and it had Stoltenberger? Yeah, Charles Stoltenberger. And he was lamenting about the fact that you do have a NATO country sanctioning a NATO country. So for everybody watching on the comment section right now, which countries am I talking about? I will give you guys a few seconds to write down in the comment section if you know which countries I'm talking about. And I will tell you right now, we are talking about the United States sanctioning Turkey. And of course, they also sanctioned Russia. Not a big surprise. Not that I think Russia really cares that much, even though they came out with the standard canned, I think they're canned statements by this point. But, you know, Turkey was irked. And this all goes down to the S-400s and the purchasing of the S-400s. Maybe there's more to it. But what do you make of this story? And what is essentially a historic event?
It is an absolutely historic event. It's a huge event. And I have to say that Donald Trump, I think to some extent, his hand has been forced. I think that it's widely acknowledged throughout the US political system that the person who has been resisting tough sanctions on Turkey has been Donald Trump. And again, he's doing it for very, very rational reasons, because Turkey is has the second biggest army in NATO. It's not the second most powerful military in NATO. Those are the militaries of Britain and France. Each one of them is more powerful than Turkey's. But it is a very large army, and it is a powerful military. And of course, it is an absolutely critical NATO power. It is absolutely vital for the United States in order to for the US to project power into the Middle East. And of course, Turkey is vital to the US position in the Eastern Mediterranean, and especially now in the Black Sea. The US has been trying to challenge Russian naval dominance in the Black Sea. It can't realistically do it without Turkey's cooperation. So it is absolutely crucial to the United States. Donald Trump understands that. Donald Trump resisted sanctions on Turkey for a very long time, but he's now been forced to do it. And I don't think it's just forced. I think even he realizes that the point has now been reached when he has to do it. Now, these particular sanctions stem from one particular event, which is the sale by Russia to Turkey of the S-400 anti-aircraft missile system. This is, by some estimates, the most advanced anti-aircraft missile system in the world. Erdogan decided that he would buy it after the 2016 coup attempt, which failed against him. He sought a rapprochement with Russia at that time. He dropped some very heavy hints at the time of the coup that he thought that some Western countries were behind it. He was very critical of the US. Turkish media at that time was running stories about the US involvement in the coup. Claims which the US, by the way, has emphatically denied. But anyway, he was possibly making a gesture against the US at that time. So he decided to go for the S-400 buy from Russia. He bought the S-400 missiles. They've now arrived in Turkey. Erdogan's and Turkey's justification is that the US was refusing to supply Patriot missiles to Turkey, and the deal that they offered to Turkey was not as good as the S-400 deal that the Russians were offering, and that the S-400 system is anyway more advanced than the Patriot missile system. So that's Erdogan's justification. But overall, and by and large, and in my opinion, Erdogan did it more for political reasons than anything else. It was a sign to the US that Turkey was now pursuing an independent foreign policy, independent from that of the US, was buying weapons from whoever it sought. The US retaliated by excluding Turkey from the F-35 fighter jet program. in which Turkey has invested money and has provided industrial and technological support, facilities and support. So Erdogan then started talking about participating in Russian fighter jet programs. He talked about buying the Russian Su-35 fighter, and possibly even the Russian fifth generation Su-57 fighter. He's also trying to build up Turkey's own domestic arms industry. And there's been a lot of discussion about the use of Turkish drones in the Caucasus war and in Syria. And though these, to some extent, to a great extent, still depend on imported technologies from Canada, especially, and other Western countries, nonetheless, it is an attempt to develop an independent arms industry, separate from that of the US and from that of the other big European allies of the US, like Britain, Germany, and France. And now the US has come to the decision that these actions by Turkey, these insistence on buying Russian missile systems, this decision to continue to press ahead with development of their own domestic arms industry, this talk about buying Russian fighter jets or Russian fighter jet technology, and even of establishing co-production agreements with the Russians on developing fighter jets in Turkey itself, all of this goes too far. Turkey is pursuing also foreign policy objectives that sometimes contradict those of the US. So now we have the first step by the United States to sanction a NATO ally, specifically sanctions, note this, sanctions against Turkey's burgeoning arms industry, clearly an attempt to bring Turkey to heel. Erdogan says that he will resist and oppose these steps. All the indications from Turkey are ones of growing defiance. And from what I understand, it is a defiance that now extends right across the Turkish political system. Even political leaders in Turkey who oppose Erdogan support him on this. So we have a showdown between the United States and Turkey. The EU also is dithering, deciding whether or not to impose sanctions over Turkish actions in the Eastern Mediterranean, with Greece and Cyprus and France pressing from those sanctions. It seems big steps are being taken now to try to bring Turkey and Erdogan to heel.
Okay, three things that you can address for this video. The first one is obviously, regardless of all the tensions in Syria between Russia and Turkey, regardless of all the tensions between Russia and Turkey in the Caucasus and with Azerbaijan and Armenia, Putin is doubling, tripling, quadrupling down on his relationship with Turkey and with Erdogan. This seems clear, at least to me. It looks like that he's forging ahead with integrating Russia and Turkey to become some sort of power bloc. We've talked at great length about how Putin is spending much of his political capital on this, much to his demise, but he's moving full speed ahead on this. Number two, the European Union completely caved. They looked like idiots. Greece and Cyprus, I saw the statements from Mitsotakis, I saw the statements from Anastasiadis. They tried to paint this pretty picture about sanctions on Turkey, which were never put in place. Once again, Merkel got her way and they decided to do nothing. The European Union is completely weak. Greece and Turkey went to Europe and they look like complete fools. No matter how much Mitsotakis or Anastasiadis tried to dress it up, they went to Brussels and they got completely and absolutely defeated and obliterated. I don't care what they say. A Greek and Cypriot foreign policy is in shambles because their foreign policy pretty much exists of whatever Europe says or whatever Europe does, that's what we'll do. If you remember all these three, if you forget, just let me know. Finally, the big question is, we kind of know where Trump is going with his stance on Turkey. So if Trump retains the White House, I think we have an indication where he'll go with handling Turkey. The question everyone asks is, what will a Biden administration do? And another question, kind of an add-on to that, is if the U.S. really wanted to hurt Turkey, they would not look at their weapons industry. I think they would go at the lira. They would attack the lira, and that would pretty much be the demise of Turkey in a split second, I would imagine. I don't think Turkey could withstand a U.S. assault on the lira, if that's even possible or even considered. So I think these sanctions maybe are toothless to a certain extent.
I don't think they're toothless. I think that they will deter outside investors and outside partners from assisting Turkey to build up its arms industry. I mean, bear in mind that the Turkish arms industry still depends very, very heavily on imported components. So to give an example, all those Turkish drones we were hearing so much about in the Southern Caucasus and in Syria, they use subcomponents, many of which, for example, are made in Canada and in other Western countries. And I think now that the leadership, much of the leadership of this Turkish arms industry has been sanctioned, I think many of those partners will be deterred from participating further in those Turkish programs. So I don't think they're completely toothless if their intention is to obstruct the development of Turkey's defense industries. Now, that is important for Erdogan. It's probably important for some industrial groups in Turkey. It's a symbol of Turkish national pride that they're developing their own arms industry. And some people in the Turkish military may be happy about it. But you're absolutely right. It is not an existential issue for Turkey. Turkey has survived without a big arms industry up to now. It can continue to do so. It can continue to import weapons as it has in the past. If the United States broadens its sanctions away from just Turkey's arms industry, which is still, it's fairly big, but it's still fledgling and evolving, and starts to impose the kind of sanctions on Turkey that it imposed in 2014 on Russia, for example, or to an even greater extent on Iran, if it starts to take action against the Turkish civilian economy, if it starts to attack the lira and Turkish banks, and it can do so very easily. It can, for example, allege the Turkish banks are involved in money laundering, or that they're laundering money for terrorists, or laundering money for, drugs dealers, both of which, by the way, may very well be true. I mean, I'm not saying it is, but if you look at the kind of people Turkey has got close to in the last 10 years, I mean, there were allegations, for example, that they were buying oil from ISIS at one time. These are allegations. There were allegations that a lot of the money that went into the jihadi movements that were active in Syria were also passing through Turkish banks. And of course, as most people probably know, Turkey and Central Asia are historic routes for the movement of drugs, especially heroin and opium and all those substances from Afghanistan and other places in Central Asia into Europe. So, you can easily find reasons to justify these sort of sanctions. And bear in mind that if the United States imposes these kind of sanctions, if the Treasury Department does it, there's no real legal recourse with which to challenge it. So the United States can do it, and it doesn't have to spell out its evidence in any detail. If that kind of step is taken, yes, I agree that at that point, the Turkish economy craters. Turkey's central bank is not only doesn't have any real reserves left, it is in fact heavily in debt. It's borrowed heavily from friendly countries like Qatar and China to support the lira. It's pursued a very eccentric monetary policy, and it would not be able to defend the lira to any great extent, and it would probably find it impossible to defend the Turkish banking system. So Turkey's economy at that point would crater. Now, up to this point, the United States has held back from doing that. That would be a massively aggressive move against Turkey, and it would be a devastating one. It hasn't done it because up to this point, Donald Trump has opposed it. But if the new administration, if Biden comes and becomes president, there is some talk that some of the people who are incoming in the Biden administration are concerned not just about Turkish foreign policy, but about aspects of Turkey's domestic policy. And they are apparently pushing for further sanctions against Turkey, and they want to see Erdogan out. Now, if the United States does go down that route, then, of course, situation for Erdogan becomes incredibly difficult. And indeed, for Turkey becomes incredibly difficult. And it's problematic to see how in that situation, Erdogan and his party could survive in Turkey. We're not there yet, but perhaps that is the direction of travel. I should add in parenthesis that it seems that Erdogan himself is currently trying to reach out to Biden and to the people within the Biden team. And it may be that he will be able to come to some kind of deal with them. So, you know, we don't yet know, but if the United States does take that line with Turkey, Turkey's economy, as I said, craters, and we would see whether in that case, other countries which have supported Turkey up to now, such as China and Russia, whether they would be prepared or be able to come to Turkey's assistance in that kind of situation. The European Union, you're absolutely right. The European Union has failed again. Merkel is obviously incredibly nervous about further refugee flows from Turkey. Erdogan constantly plays this game with her. He's constantly threatens her with more refugees from Turkey, and as happened in 2015, with disastrous electoral consequences for her. And of course, Germany has a very large Turkish community, and I think Merkel is nervous about antagonizing that. And of course, it's always important to remember that in September, she's supposed to leave. So there is a difficult transition, a difficult leadership transition going to happen in Germany. So the Germans, for all sorts of reasons, are nervous about Turkey taking on Turkey at this time. And I'm afraid you're absolutely right. Greece, Cyprus, they press for sanctions. They seek EU support over the East Mediterranean. They get it from France, but the EU itself is not doing it. It's not interested. It won't support Greece. It won't support Cyprus. Once again, what we see is that the Greeks and the Cypriots, at the establishment level at least, have massively over-invested in the EU project. And as a result, far from getting strong support at their back, their position is weaker than it would otherwise be if they were sovereign states pursuing an active foreign policy. Now, let's turn to Russia. Putin himself is completely committed to developing relations with Turkey. He also looks at the situation between with the deterioration of relations between the United States and Turkey. And perhaps he sensed an opportunity. I think he is wrong. I think that ultimately this is not going to play out the way he expects, because I don't think that Turkey is in any position to withstand the United States. I don't think that Erdogan's position in Turkey is completely stable anyway. And I don't personally think that Erdogan is a reliable partner. I mean, you know, we've seen the Russians going to head-to-head with Turkey in Syria. We've seen the Russians having to deal with Turkey in the South Caucasus. They've managed to limit Turkey's military presence in the South Caucasus to some extent. They've strong-armed Azerbaijan into removing the jihadi fighters that Turkey sent to the South Caucasus and who were participating in the recent Nagorno-Karabakh war. But it ought to be completely, blindingly obvious to them by now that Turkey is a difficult partner. And of course, on top of all of that, Erdogan has been playing his usual games of trying to get leverage against Russia by forging stronger links with Ukraine. So I don't think this thing is going to work out at all as Putin wants. And there are, I know, people in Russia who are telling Putin this. The other problem Russia has is that if we see a massive escalation in sanctions, US sanctions against Turkey, if we see sanctions against its civilian economy, of which there is some talk now, is Russia really willing to invest its rubles into saving Turkey at that point? I wonder. I doubt it. I think the Russian finance ministry would have an absolute they'd have an absolute nervous breakdown if it was suggested to them. I think China also, frankly, would be very reluctant to invest that kind of money into bailing Turkey out. So Putin risks overcommitting himself to a dangerous relationship. If there was one country that could point this out to him and might persuade him, or at least, if not Putin himself, persuade many other people in Russia, especially at senior level, who feel most uneasy about the direction of this policy that Putin has been following with Erdogan, there's one country that might persuade the Russians to change course, it could be Greece, in theory. Greece has lots of friends in Russia. It's got lots of good contacts with Russia. By Greece pursuing this extraordinarily unbalanced foreign policy, siding so hard with the EU, it's lost that opportunity to exercise such influence as it has in Moscow. And the result is, once again, we're isolated. The Greeks are isolated. They've not been able to get the EU at their backs. And they find that they're short of friends.
Yeah, I agree with you. Greece's foreign policy is in shambles. They're completely owned by the EU. Merkel's completely owned by Erdogan. Putin is going down a path, which I think, with Turkey, which I think is going to completely backfire. My last question, real quick. With Putin and with Erdogan, it's, I guess you would say that in diplomacy or politics, you try to find compromise or solution. You should say that it's never a zero-sum game. But with regards to what you said about Erdogan making overtures to Biden, if Erdogan succeeds in getting a rapprochement with the United States, I mean, we are looking at a zero-sum game. I mean, go with the United States, you have to ditch Russia. I mean, you can't have both, correct? I mean, he's not going to be able to do both.
Absolutely. That's entirely correct. I mean, what will happen, I suspect, is yes, he must be concerned about the possibility of broader US sanctions against Turkey. I think even Erdogan, whose understanding of economics is very poor, is acknowledged even by his supporters, some of his prominent supporters in Turkey, to be very poor. I mean, he has all sorts of strange ideas about interest rates, for example. But I think even he realizes that Turkey is in no condition to take on the United States. If the US broadens its sanctions policy, then, as I said, Turkey's economy is, frankly, is going to crater. So what does he do? He is trying to reach out to Biden. But, of course, that gives the people around Biden leverage. They will say, well, in that case, if you want to make friends again with us, you need to go back and be our loyal ally, reintegrate fully in NATO, and stop once and for all these adventures with the Russians. They're only landing you in ever deeper trouble. And I think at that point, what Putin will find is that all that massive investment he's made in Turkey will completely go to waste, because you absolutely rightly say, it's a zero-sum game. You can invest only, the Russians, it's, you either go with Russia and China, or you go with the US. There is no middle. There is no middle path. If you want a historical parallel, it's what happened in Egypt in the 1950s and 1960s with Gamal Nasser. Nasser was a leader in Egypt who resembled Erdogan in some ways, and like Erdogan, had a great deal of popularity in Egypt. And he was trying to pursue an independent foreign policy, and he built up, tried to build up Egypt's military industries, and he got very, very, very close to the Russians. And the Russians invested very heavily in Egypt. They even sent troops there. They built the Aswan Dam. They built up a large part of Egypt's industrial base. But ultimately, the political and economic interests of Egypt pulled it back towards the United States. In 1974, Egypt flipped. It went from being a Russian ally to being, again, a US ally. And the Russians found that that massive investment that they made in Egypt came to absolutely nothing. Egypt became one of the most anti-Russian states in the Middle East. So it was a complete reversal of policy. And I can't help but think that Putin is risking the same thing with Turkey. So it's, I think, a game that he's playing with Turkey that could very well end up backfiring on him and on Russia spectacularly.
All right, we'll leave it there, and we'll be following this story. Alexander Mercurius, thank you very much. Guys, check us out on BitChute, Odyssey, and Rumble. All those links down below in the description box. PayPal, Patreon, Subscribestar, and Bitcoin. You will find those links as well. Your donation helps out this channel a whole bunch. Subscribe to us on YouTube if you like this video as well. We appreciate your subscription and your like. So give us a like and go to the Durant Shop, pick up some merchandise. That also helps us out a lot as well.
Indeed. We've been talking about Greece. So here we go. We have our mug. This is a small mug with the flag of Greece and lots of flags there. Alex also has one. I couldn't quite see the flag there, but we have flags of many countries. Oh no, I think it is in fact our friend Dimitris Economou's designs.
No, Cyprus.
Oh, it's Cyprus. Well, that tells you how poor my eyesight's become in some ways. But anyway, we've got the flags of many countries. We've got the flags of many countries also on our shirts. You can see that I've got a magnificent new long sleeves shirt, and that is the flag, for those who don't know, of South Korea. You can see it's got the yin and yang symbol. It's a very, very Confucian country, South Korea. In fact, it's a wonderful country. I know it well. I've traveled there. I've been to Seoul. I've been to Jeju Island. I've been to the parallel, the border with North Korea. And I've seen those things. And it's a really beautiful and extraordinary country. And I'm delighted and proud that I own a shirt with its flag. But you will find many flags of other countries, definitely of your own country, if you look for it, I'm sure, on our shirts, on our mugs. They are the best shirts and mugs in the world, bar none. You'll find our flags, also flags on our hats. Here's the flag of Great Britain, for example. And you will also find hoodies and sweatshirts and stickers too. So come to our shop, buy the great things you will find there. Support the Durand that way. Support us by going to our other platforms and also support us on Patreon and Subscribestar. And come to our next broadcast.
All right, Alexander Mercurius, thank you very much. Until next time, everybody, take care.